John Molinaro of Sportsnet joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. Iceland's going to beat Portugal, aren't they, John? John? I'll take that as a yes. Go ahead.
I wouldn't put money on that. No, I think everyone is kind of prematurely ragging on Portugal, thinking that, you know, they're going to be a massive flop in this tournament. But I think there's quality there beyond Cristiano Ronaldo. I think, you know, do I think they're going to win the tournament? No, but I don't think they're going to be the great disappointment that everyone thinks they are.
Do you know that Iceland produces more bananas than any country in Europe?
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, geothermal heating.
Okay, good for them.
That's really apropos and nothing, but I heard it this morning on the radio, so it must be right. Austria's kind of one of the dark horse teams, aren't they? I mean, when we did our Sportsnet.ca picks and people were asked to list their dark horses, a lot of people listed Austria. And, you know, the same thing, frankly, a lot of the analysts overseas as well have kind of pegged Austria as a bit of a dark horse. Why is that? And, well, I'll ask you, how good are they?
I think they're a good side. I think, quite rightly, a lot of people are picking them alongside Poland as the dark horse pick. I think it's because they've come a long way. When you think about where they were 8 years ago when they co-hosted the tournament, when they bowed out in the first round, I think they've come a long way since then. They've got a lot of their players are playing at the highest level in the Bundesliga or in the Premier League. And when you look at a player like the caliber of David Alaba, who I think is one of the best defenders in world football right now, so versatile in that he can play anywhere across the back line, but also in midfield. I think he's just a wonderful example of sort of the emerging young players and skilled players that they have. Mm-hmm. So, I think quite rightly they're being touted as a dark horse, and it doesn't hurt hurt their chances that they're in, I would suggest, what is a relatively easy group as well.
How seriously do you take UEFA's, obviously the fine, but the threat of disqualification issued to Russia and England, but it seems to be aimed pretty directly at Russia as a result of some of the hooliganism we've seen. How seriously do you take that? Because, you know, I think people's initial reaction was to, you know, dismiss this as just UEFA being UEFA, and it's kind of toothless. But, man, based on the reaction from Russia and based on the reaction from elsewhere, you almost get the point that maybe because of the legitimate concerns about terrorism in France, that this warning may be a little, there may be a little more to it than in the past.
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, yeah, on the surface, it does appear to have some teeth to it because they're clearly sort of laying down the law in the one sense. But, I really wonder if they were that serious. Would they not have, instead of issued the warning, would they not have come out and sort of just banned them to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And that might seem like an extreme measure, but I think, you quite rightly alluded to sort of, the atmosphere in France with, beyond sort of the fan violence, but just geopolitically what's been going on ever since the Paris attacks last November. You really wonder that if they were that serious, then they would have taken more of a hardline stance. So I don't know. I mean, if there's another major sort of event like there was in the England-Russia game, would they do something? I would think they have to now because they've kind of painted themselves in the corner, right? They've kind of said that they were going to do it. So if they don't, then they're going to come off looking like schmoes. So it's coming to the point where it could be put up or shut up time for UEFA.
I'm surprised that somehow you haven't worked a reference into Italy. You've been in the air for about, 5-6 minutes? I'll do it for you. Early days of the tournament and everything, but I think that was probably the most impressive team performance we've seen so far in the tournament yesterday against Belgium, wasn't it?
I think so. I think Spain was pretty impressive as well. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the way Belgium was being hyped up about this golden generation, and when you look at the players, the caliber of Romelu Lukaku and Eden Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne, they're ranked number 2 in the world by FIFA, although you have to take that with, I think a silo of salt, never mind a grain.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think there was a lot of hype going on about Belgium, and, they were they were reduced to nothing yesterday by Italy. I mean, the Italians really did a number, especially on Eden Hazard, who I thought was just a ghost out there. I think Antonio Conte, the Italian manager, got his tactics spot on, and they, you know, in keeping the game in front of them and trying to slow down the pace of the game as much as they can, hitting out on the counterattack. And, you know, it was moments of individual brilliance that really was the difference, really. When you think about that ball that Leonardo Bonucci pinged 50 yards for Giaccherini to slot home, I mean, you know, that was a world-class pass, mm-hmm. and a world-class finish.
You know,
And then Graziano Pelle with the finish in injury time, kind of on the volley there. It was a sublime finish. So, you know, that was the difference. And Belgium, as I said, just neutralized by that, you know, masterclass in defending by the Italians.
Well, I was going to say, at a time when it appears as if somebody has kidnapped all the great defenders in the world and taken them away someplace, it was remarkable just how much that Italian defense stood out. Yeah, compared to anything I've seen in a long time, and it was really impenetrable.
I think the key here is that you've got to remember that, you know, they're backed up by Gianluigi Buffon, who plays for Juventus, and the three defenders yesterday, Andrea Barzagli, Leonardo Bonucci, and Giorgio Chiellini, they're all played with Juventus. So these are the back four is all playing for one team. You know, there's no sort of you know, period where they have to kind of get to know each other or figure out each other's tendencies. I mean, it's like clockwork because they've been playing together all season, and Juventus had one of the best defensive records in all of Europe in club soccer this year. So, yeah, I think for me, that's the key to why Italy is so strong defensively. And, you know, when you look at this tournament, in terms of, you know, defensive postures for all of the 24 sides, I think Italy, that's a distinct advantage that they can call upon, you know, their guys at the back four who played together all season long at club level.
And this is really going to be a test for Mark Wilmots, isn't it? Because there has been a lot of criticism directed towards him. A lot of people just don't think he's up to managing a team with the talent of Belgium. I don't know how much yesterday, though, was tactical. I mean, against that defense, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, but when you have players the caliber of Eden Hazard, although albeit he's coming off a pretty disappointing season for Chelsea, you know, you expect more, right? I mean, mm-hmm. sure, it's the Italian defense, and it's rightly vaulted, so I appreciate that. But, you know, Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne, these aren't inconsiderable players. These are players of considerable talent, and you would thought they would have had, you know, more of the game and done a little more to ease that Italian defense. But save for one or two moments, I mean, you know, Italy comfortably contained them. I don't think Gianluigi Buffon really had to make, you know, that many dangerous saves. So it was, it was disappointing for Belgium. I just think they were, you know, neutralized by a strong Italian defense. But certainly it was expecting a little bit more from them.